Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the shocking confirmation that America's sick gun culture is fueled by gun manufacturers, in particular the makers of the Bushmaster assault rifle used in the recent massacre of schoolchildren. In an explicit ad campaign, Bushmaster ties manhood to using their assault rifle, issuing man cards to customers who buy this military weapon. Alex Seitz-Wald, Salon's Washington political reporter, joins us. He has two articles at Salon: Assault Rifle Company Issues Man Cards, and The Answer is Not More Guns. Then we'll look into rumors that President Obama might sell out on Social Security in the current negotiations on the so-called fiscal cliff. Robert Weissman, the president of the Washington, D.C.-based consumer watchdog group Public Citizen, joins us to discuss his concern that instead of taxing Wall Street, the White House might be ready to ship senior citizens down the river and start taxing grandma. Then finally, with hearings about to start in the Senate Armed Services Committee into the tragic resource war in the Congo, where 5 million have died so that we can get cheap components for consumer electronics, we will speak with a Congolese expert on who is profiting from the destruction of his country. George Zangola, professor of African Studies and Afro-American Studies at the University of North Carolina, joins us to discuss a much-needed change in U.S. policy towards the Congo. And joining us now is Alex Seitz-Wald, who is Salon's Washington political reporter. He was previously the deputy editor of thinkprogress.org, the blog for the Center for American Progress, and his latest articles at salon.com are The Answer is Not More Guns and Assault Rifle Company Issues Man Cards. Welcome to Background Briefing, Alex Seitz-Wald.
Thanks for having me.
So just starting with the article on the assault rifle company issuing man cards, I've been trying to make that point for the last few days talking to people on this issue, including Colin Goddard, who you quote in your other article, The Answer is Not More Guns. And here we have the proof. I mean, I'm grateful for you because I've been making the case, for example, I grew up in Australia, which is a different culture. And if you got into a fight with somebody in Australia and pulled a gun or a knife, you would be considered an abject coward and a disgrace. But in America, guns associated with heroism and manliness. And here's the proof. You've got the company, the very company that makes the assault rifle that killed all of those people in Connecticut, are issuing man cards.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, as you said, you know, this is an argument that liberals have been making for a long time about gun owners. But here you have Bushmaster, which is, you know, one of the largest gun makers. They make the AR-15 assault rifle that was used in the shooting, and also the one that was used in the Aurora, Colorado shooting, and in the one in Oregon just a few weeks ago, the Clackamas Mall. And they have an entire marketing campaign built around not being manly enough, and if you purchase one of their rifles, you will redeem your masculinity. And this is explicit. This isn't, you know, like a Budweiser commercial or other commercials where it's kind of hinting at if you buy their product, you'll be a man. This is explicitly saying, you know, they ask you a quiz on their website. Do you eat tofu? Do you watch figure skating? Do you know how to change the tire on your car? And if you answer no to any of those, they will revoke your man card and suggest, you know, maybe you can prove your manliness by buying one of our assault rifles. So it's pretty brazen and I think a little bit shocking, but it shouldn't be that surprising because this is very much part of the culture, as you said.
Well, I haven't noticed. You said liberals have been saying this for some time. I haven't noticed that that has been an argument against the proliferation of guns. I mean, a lot of the pathology and the psychology of these killers involved in these mass shootings, there is a consistency that they are young men and boys who feel rejected by their peers and are trying to prove something. And by picking up a gun and doing this, conducting these massacres, somehow that is a step towards more manliness. I mean, it's so embedded in the culture. It's embedded here in Hollywood, where I'm talking to you from. Every movie poster and every TV show features people poking guns out at you. And the consensus of the movie plots and the TV shows are that the guns solve the problems and the people who use them effectively are our heroes.
Right. And there's a fetishization of the gun, you know, not so much as something to be respected and feared and a tool that has a purpose, but that is also very dangerous. It's more, you know, like a sports car or like something that's just unquestionably cool and to be desired and you know, lusted after, really. And I think that's dangerous. I mean, the, when you look at the type of guns that, that we're talking about here, these assault rifles, they are military-style assault rifles, and they are specifically designed aesthetically to look like military weapons. I mean, the, one of the big conservative critiques of kind of legislation like the assault weapon ban is that there are plenty of guns that do the exact same thing that don't look like assault weapons, and that's a valid point. But it, it what it gets at is that these guns are explicitly designed to look like the kinds of things you see in movies and TV shows, and that's what people are you know, lusting after. And these kind of ad campaigns, the man card, plays directly into that, people wanting to act out their fantasies of, you know, being Rambo or a manly man. But it misses the point that these are, of course, terribly dangerous tools that, that, you know, need to be respected.
Well, but specifically, again, I'm speaking with Alex Seitz-Wald, who's Salon's Washington Political Reporter and previously was deputy editor of thinkprogress.org, the blog for the Center for American Progress, and he has two articles at salon.com. The answer is not more guns and assault rifle company issues man cards, which is what we're talking about at the moment. And these man cards actually exist. If you buy the Bushmaster, the very assault weapon that killed all of those children in Connecticut, you get one of these cards, and it says Bushmaster, and it says man card, and this certifies you are a man card holder. And on the back, it says rights and privileges. The bearer of this card has averted complete humiliation. Today, he is a man, fully entitled to all the rights and privileges duly afforded, to belch without apology, to leave the seat up without shame. The way is before you. And of course, as you mentioned, the questionnaire that goes along with getting a man card asks whether or not you eat tofu, can change a tire, have ever watched figure skating, whether you drink light beer. Your card can be revoked for offenses such as being a crybaby, a coward, a cupcake, having a short leash, presumably meaning that your wife or girlfriend has you on a leash, and being generally unmanly. So it couldn't be more clearer, the association that this gun manufacturer is trying to make with the product that they are trying to sell, that you've got to man up and get a Bushmaster.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of companies, this is not new, this kind of line of thinking. You see it in beer commercials and football ads and all kinds of stuff, but it's usually it's much less direct. I mean, this is really explicit. You know, you are not a man unless Bushmaster tells you you are a man. And I think that's dangerous, or that's at least something that we should be, you know, thinking about and concerned about in this larger debate about guns, which has been sparked by this awful tragedy. I think we need to look at the culture and not just the policy and not just mental health, but the way that guns are fetishized and the way that they, you know, for a lot of men in this country, are associated with masculinity and the only way to prove your worth as a man. I think that's something that really we need to take a hard look at.
So, Alex Seitz-Wald, just turning to your other article at salon.com, the answer is not more guns. You're quoting here Larry Pratt, who's executive director of Gun Owners of America. That's the even more right-wing organization than the NRA. They think the NRA are a bunch of pussies. And Pratt said over the weekend, after this massacre, yet another schoolhouse massacre, he said that gun control supporters have the blood of little children on their hands for preventing law-abiding citizens from bringing guns to school. And what we're seeing now, we may be in an alternative universe here on the liberal side of politics in America, but on the conservative side of politics in America, people believe what Larry Pratt is saying, and the gun manufacturers such as Bushmaster are pushing that line that... Well, actually, they're pushing a different line. They're more or less telling the supporters of assault rifles and gun collectors in this country that as a result of this tragedy in Connecticut, Obama's going to take away your guns, so you better get to the gun store right away and start buying an arsenal. That's what's going on in America.
Yeah, and Larry Pratt makes the argument bluntly and offensively, and it's easy to dismiss him, and there's lots of other conservatives. Louis Gohmert, congressman from Texas, made a similar argument on the House floor. But then, you know, there's a more nuanced argument out there in this kind of thought that more guns equals less crime. Jeff Goldberg wrote a 7,000-word essay in The Atlantic just this month that came out kind of by a fluke of timing, was published just a week before last week's shooting. And there's a small body of scientific academic research that's tried to make the same case, that more guns will lead to less crime. And there's sort of an intuitive logic to it. You know, if you were in the elementary school at Sandy Hook, or if you were in the theater in Aurora, wouldn't you want to have had a gun so you could defend yourself, so you could stop the mass, the shooter? But if you look at the sum total of the data out there, and I spoke with five of the country's most prominent gun violence researchers, delved very deeply into the data, and it's just absolutely clear from all the evidence out there, unequivocally, that is not the right solution. We have plenty of evidence showing that the more guns there are, the more violence there is. It's that simple. If you have a gun in your home, regardless of who you are, just the numbers show there's a threefold increase in the likelihood of homicide and a fivefold increase in the likelihood of suicide. Across states that have more guns have more violence. I mean, there's just a huge amount of scientific data out there to support that. So the problem with this thinking that if we only had armed citizens, and we're seeing out in a number of states across the country, lawmakers introducing bills to either allow people to bring their concealed weapons into schools or to even arm teachers, you know, to create new programs to arm teachers. The problem is, while that would maybe be useful in a shooting situation, and I would argue that it's not, there's plenty of evidence to show that too, but you have to think about what happens to that gun the rest of the time when there's not a shooting going on, and it's a gun that's sitting there that could be found by a child and accidentally used, or could be used someone who is, you know, feeling is unstable and suicidal, or could be used by somebody who wants to commit a shooting but didn't have access to a gun. So I think this kind of line of thinking is really dangerous, and there's just an overwhelming amount of evidence that shows that it's not the right solution.
Again, I'm speaking with Alex Seitz-Wald, who's Salon's Washington political reporter. He has two articles at salon.com. The answer is not more guns, and the assault rifle company issues man cards. Now, the White House has come out saying that the president is going to vigorously pursue the reintroduction of the assault weapons ban that presumably Senator Feinstein is going to reintroduce. It was allowed to expire in the George W. Bush administration in 2004. It was only in place for 10 years. So that's happening on the one hand. But the point I was making, Alex, is that there is currently in this country a run on guns. People are going to gun stores and buying. The things are flying off the shelves. And the gun manufacturers are feeding that paranoia, saying that because of this shooting, Obama's going to take away your guns. Well, we know, I think you're in Washington. Surely if Obama and Dianne Feinstein do the heaviest lifting they're capable of, nothing's going to happen. The House is never going to pass any meaningful gun control. So meanwhile, there's a run on guns, and politically, you know, it looks like posturing. Maybe I'm too cynical, but tell me I'm not.
Well, unfortunately, I think you're right about the outcome. I mean, I don't think the House will ever pass an assault weapon ban, and that just shows you how far we've gone on this issue. You know, this is something that passed overwhelmingly in 1994 and then expired in 2004, and there hasn't even been any meaningful attempts to renew it. Even Democrats are afraid to bring it up. But I don't think it's entirely meaningless that Obama has come out for it and that Dianne Feinstein and other Democrats are pushing legislation. I think that is a step in the right direction for people who are concerned about assault weapons being on the street. And if you look at the polling, that's about 60% of Americans who say that we should ban these kinds of weapons. It's positive in that Democrats have been afraid to discuss it. Obama has completely ignored the gun control debate. It was not at all a part of his campaign this time around, a very small part in 2008, but you'll remember he got in trouble for saying that people cling to their guns and religion. And after that, he avoided talking about guns at all costs. The only bill of any significance that he signed that had to deal with guns was to expand gun rights access that allows you to carry a gun in a national park. So the fact that he's now coming out for this, it's not huge, but it's a step in the right direction. And I think as time goes on, if people remain outraged about this, and people continue to put pressure on him, I think there's a chance that if something can't be done through Congress, at least through the administration, there might be some, around the edges, some positive movement.
Well, at the very least, one would hope that the president does what he can to undo the very bill that he signed, allowing firearms in national parks. The governor of Michigan had just passed the Right to Work bill, which the president characterizes the Right to Work for Less bill. He has right on his desk a bill that would allow guns to be carried in schools and in churches and other public places. That's a model piece of legislation that ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, along with the NRA, have been pushing around the country, these conceal and carry laws and allowing guns into churches, schools, and other public buildings, such as hospitals. Again, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, Alex. I mean, the arguments that the gun rights advocates, if you will, call themselves, the pro-gun people, are making is that more guns lead to less crime. Well, if that's the case, America, with its 300 million guns, should be the safest place on the earth.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And it's just not true. And we have, you know, an overwhelming amount of evidence, as I discussed, to show that that's simply not the case. And in fact, the more guns we have, the more dangerous we are. And the just looking at the case of the fact that we have 300,000 guns and we have
300
away,
million guns,
you know, seven times the homicide rate,
right,
and whatnot of other industrialized developed countries. So it's clearly not the answer. One bit of positive news, Rick Snyder, the governor of Michigan, came out this afternoon and he said that he will veto that law or that bill to allow teachers, allow people to bring schools in, excuse me, bring guns in schools. But, you know, I wonder if this is just in the week after the shooting, if people are paying attention to it. I'm afraid that as we go on, as new things come up, we'll lose focus on this issue and it will once again fade into the back burner and there will be nothing done on it.
Well, thank you for updating us on that, Alex. I wasn't aware that he'd actually vetoed that. I thought he was about to sign it, but obviously it's not a particularly politically astute move to sign a bill like that in a moment like this. But your article at Salon.com, Alex Seiswald, "The Answer Is Not More Guns. A Trendy Argument Suggests We'll Be Safer If More People Carry Guns. It's Dangerous, Wrong, and Terrible Policy." Some of the evidence that you've collected about how counterintuitive is the idea that that you need more guns to prevent these massacres. I didn't realize this, but apparently in the confusion over the shooting of the former congresswoman in Arizona, Representative Gabrielle Giffords, an armed citizen nearly shot the unarmed hero who tackled the shooter, Jared Loughner. So what we're really talking about here is bringing more guns to the party and the Wild West, and bullets will be flying everywhere.
Yeah, that's right, Ian. The unarmed man tackled Loughner, and he was using Loughner's gun to subdue him. You know, he was standing over him. There was a bunch of people there, but he had the gun in his hand. And when the armed citizen showed up, he saw a guy with a gun, and he pulled his own trigger. He pulled his own weapon, and he said he was about to pull the trigger, but he hesitated for a brief second, and then people started yelling, and he realized what was going on. But, I mean, it was split seconds away from shooting the innocent person, the hero who tackled Jared Loughner. And another bit of anecdotal evidence that suggests that not only can they be counterproductive, but they're not very useful. In the shooting in the mall in Oregon, there was a perfect example of what the gun rights people are saying should happen. There was a guy with a concealed weapons permit. He was within range of the shooter. The shooter was distracted, reloading his gun. The man ducked behind a column. He pulled out his weapon. He turned the corner. He saw the shooter very clearly. He said he could have taken a shot. But then he saw another woman behind the shooter, and he was afraid that if he shot at the shooter, he would hit this woman. So he decided not to fire, and he said he never regretted that. And that's exactly right. I mean, this is the problem. Imagine in the theater in Aurora, it's dark, there's smoke, there's people everywhere. If somebody had a gun there and tried to shoot at the shooter, almost inevitably, they would have hit somebody else. So it just doesn't make any sense if you actually sit down and think about it and work through the thought experiment. To bring more guns to the party is not the answer.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the reason why police are trained and why the military are trained, is for that very reason, that guns and bullets fly and There's always somebody in the background. It's just so irresponsible, I think, for so many people to be trying to exploit this tragedy to actually make arguments for more guns. But I think there's nothing more obscene than the gun manufacturers themselves, particularly this Bushmaster company that's putting out this man card and telling you you're not a man if you don't own a Bushmaster. They're all exploiting the current tragedy to get people to go to gun stores and buy more of their product on the basis that Obama's going to take away their guns, which we know is not going to happen. So I'm sorry that I'm sounding frustrated, but I just find this whole thing insane. And this country is the only one in the world that seems to tolerate this insanity. In the developed world, I should say, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I think it's a fair place to be insane or to feel insane. And if you look at the polling, I mean, there is a huge gun culture. We do love guns in this country. That's undeniable. But the policy where we are now is far to the right of where the public is. The public favors a ban on assault weapons. The public favors a ban on high-capacity magazines, which are like the one that the shooter in Aurora, Colorado used that can hold up to 100 bullets in one magazine without reloading. They favor background checks on every gun purchase. A lot of people don't know this, but if you go to a gun show or if you buy a gun at a private seller, you don't need to pass a background check. There's no record of the transaction, and that's how 40% of guns in this country are purchased. They also favor micro-stamping, which would help police track down guns that were used in crimes. So these are a lot of kind of common sense pieces of legislation that should really not be controversial at all, but the public supports them. But because this very small, very, very powerful gun lobby has been so effective in scaring politicians, they have been able to distort the policy to make it not reflect what the American people actually want.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Alex Seitzwald.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Alex Seitzwald, who is Salon's Washington political reporter. He was previously the deputy editor of thinkprogress.org, the blog for the Center for American Progress. And his latest articles at salon.com are "The Answer is Not More Guns" and "Assault Rifle Company Issues Man Cards." We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back and look into rumors that the Obama administration might cave on Social Security.